time for us to get into our parenting feature, and we're looking at family rituals. And I want to know what your family rituals were growing up, the things you did together as a family. Was it church on a Sunday and then Sunday lunch at home? Was it, if you had a good report card, maybe you'd go to a particular restaurant to celebrate? Is there somewhere you went every year? Because I think that could count as a ritual as well. Are there particular games you played together? What are the things that brought you together as a family? And how many of them have you kept? Especially if you went on to become a parent yourself, how many of those family rituals that you grew up with have you kept? Give us a call on 011-883-0702. Send us your SMSs on 31702 and your WhatsApp messages on 0727021702. We want to hear about your family rituals. Joined on the line by our resident parenting and human potential expert, Nikki Bush. Nikki, as always, great to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Googs. And I just absolutely love this topic, because when we do things together as a family, it counts, because it connects deeply with our children, who are longing to experience a sense of togetherness and belonging and identity. And rituals really can do that.
And the other thing is, I guess we're always talking about the importance of spending time with your children, especially if there isn't a lot of time because parents work. There's just, you know, we're so busy. Rituals also feel like an ability to actively carve out and spend time together.
Yes, absolutely. So, for example, my family, going back to my granny, my gran was a brilliant baker and a brilliant cook. My mum equally so. And now us three daughters, we all bake and we all cook. And now we go to the next generation of our children and they all bake and cook. And when we get together for family gatherings, food is a very, very important part of our ritual as a family. And it's not food that's bought in, it's food that we make, that we actually make by hand. And as you can hear, we were all part of the cooking and baking process throughout our childhoods. And so it's kind of very ingrained in our children that food is very much part of identifying with family. Mm. And then I was chatting to a friend the other day, and her children are both at university, and they're at university out of town. And whenever they come back from university to Joburg, the family ritual is to go to the same restaurant that they go to every time their children come back from varsity.
Yeah.
And she said her children actually have their favorite meal on the menu, and they always default to ordering the same meal. So that's kind of part of the ritual of coming home. So it's interesting. We have so many different kinds of rituals, from daily rituals to weekly rituals to family birthday rituals, holiday rituals. And we mustn't forget the coming of age or rites of passage or religious or national rituals that also form part of the structure of the year, as well as the family brand.
When we're talking about a family brand, what is a family brand? Why is it so important?
So a family brand is super important, especially today against the backdrop of busyness and a digital world where we spend more time looking at devices than looking at each other. So the family brand concept is something that I've written about in depth in Future Proof Your Child, which is the best-selling parenting book written by myself and Dr. Graham Codrington. So the three pillars of a family brand are values. So what are your family values? Structure and togetherness. And rituals and family traditions convey our values. They provide structure and they create a feeling of togetherness and belonging. So they really provide a sense of, we are in this thing called life together. And that word togetherness, do not underestimate the power of a sense of togetherness and belonging. That's actually what your children want most in life, is a sense of togetherness and belonging in your family, and of course a sense of togetherness and belonging in their friendship group. As long as your child can go to school and has one friend, we're in business. And you know, the interesting thing, Googs, is that when friends come round to your home, when your children bring their friends round to your home, their friends pick up on how you do things in your home and in your family. And you start becoming known for certain things, which really is your family brand. So in my family, for example, play is part of our family brand. If you come to our home, if you come on holiday with us, you will always find yourself playing games. Sometimes they're games out of a box, and sometimes they're games we make up. If you were a child in my lift club when my kids were younger, then you knew we played car games. We played word games in the car. And kids who were in our lift club later on in years when we weren't running the lift club would specially ask if they occasionally could come in my car because they wanted to play those games we used to play when they were little. So what are you known for? What kind of rituals are you known for in your family? But more importantly, what do your children connect to? And they don't have to be big, loud rituals. So for example, I remember my dad on a Sunday morning when I was little, we used to go round to the corner cafe that had a bakery, and my dad loved to have hot fresh rolls with butter and marmalade. And I used to go in the car with him to go and buy the rolls. And that was our ritual together. And then, of course, the family would sit down and have the hot fresh rolls for Sunday breakfast. My own children had a ritual with my husband. They used to go to Tiger Wheel and Tire in Randburg, believe this or not, on a regular basis. My husband and my son are both petrol heads. And they used to go and talk to the manager there and look at the tires and have the wheels balanced. And what happened at Tiger Wheel and Tire on a Saturday morning? The manager always bought donuts. So they used to go and have donuts at Tiger Wheel and Tire.
Yeah.
To this day, my eldest son has a very good relationship with the manager of that particular branch because of all the childhood memories.
Mm.
What happened there? Really interesting.
And so rituals sounds as though obviously they are sometimes the big things like a birthday, the birth of a child, coming back from university and going to the same restaurant. But it also sounds as if it can be the little things. So the going to the Tiger Wheel and Tire, the fresh rolls that you then eat for Sunday breakfast. So rituals are both, they can be big things, they can be small things, they can be stuff we do on a daily basis, they can be things we do once off. So if we are driving down somewhere or we're going on a long distance road trip, you know, there could be a ritual there as well. So it doesn't always have to be a big thing. It can be quite a small, simple, but meaningful thing.
Yes. So that's a great example when you said going on holiday. We always used to do the annual trip down to the garden route for our annual holiday, which is a long trip, you know, that's 12 hours in the car. And my kids will tell you to this day, the first, you know, as you stop at Wimpy, whether it's breakfast or lunch, my husband started this ritual of having a cream soda float. Whether it was breakfast or lunch, they would have a cream soda float. To this day, my children will still have a cream soda float. And it's always the Wimpy in Colesberg, you know. And when my youngest was three, he'd never been in an aeroplane before. And I remember at the time, Kulula was running a special. And my husband and I said, you know what? This is our moment to get Matthew on an aeroplane. So Matthew and I got to fly. My husband and my eldest son, Ryan, drove. And because they drove with all the toys and all those things, you know. And I was so excited to tell Matthew that we were going to fly in an aeroplane down to the holiday destination. And at the age of three, he looked up at me with big eyes and he said, but mummy, will the pilot stop at Wimpy in Colesberg.
Aww.
And when I said no, he said, then I'm not flying. So that's the power of a family ritual. Of course we flew. And of course we created a new memory. But we had to get over the Wimpy Colesberg story not happening for that particular year.
Yeah.
But we did drive home after that holiday, and he did get to have his cream soda float with his dad. But let's look at some very ordinary weekly rituals that families have. And it might be which day of the week you do takeaways, whether it's a Thursday, whether it's a Friday, whether it's a Saturday. How about having a games night on a Friday? And what do you eat when you have a games night? And who do you invite? Is it just you, or do you have a different family around? Then there's the cooking of the family roast or having a braai on a Sunday. And interestingly, this is the thing that university students miss most when they go away. They actually can't wait to come home and have that family roast or the family braai on a Sunday. And those are just really basic things. Daily rituals are interesting too, because they form part of the structure of the day. And it could be, how do you eat dinner? Do you eat dinner around a dining room table, around a kitchen table, around a coffee table, sitting on the floor facing each other? Do you have devices at the dinner table, or is it a device-free time? Then there's bedtime rituals, and these are huge for children because this is a time of settling your children at the end of a busy day, of creating an environment that is conducive to sleep. And so those rituals of putting children to bed will also vary from child to child. So some children are very big into their plush toys, their stuffed toys, their teddy bears and their dolls. And they might have 15 of those, and they've got to say goodnight to every single one of them before they go to bed. Then it might be that you tickle your children's backs or you tickle their faces before they go to sleep. How about reading a bedtime story? So those things become anchors in the day and also a full stop at the end of the day. So your child knows it's time to go to sleep. It's that signal for self-regulation because you've gone through the ritual of brushing teeth, or it might be having a bath, getting into your pajamas, brushing your teeth, getting into bed, cuddling in bed with your children, reading them a story, tickling their faces, singing them a lullaby. All of those things are rituals. And family rituals for birthdays also vary from home to home.
Mm.
So for us, it would be having presents in the big bed. Everyone would climb into our bed on birthday mornings in pajamas with cups of tea and rusks and open presents. Some parents go to great lengths on birthdays. And I know some parents overnight will decorate their child's doorway and make it really special. They will have balloons on the chair at the dinner table. I know a set of parents who design their own birthday wrapping paper every single year. They literally, and it's the dad draws on big blank pieces of paper and creates customized wrapping paper for every birthday. Now, how amazing is that?
That's very sweet. And also just the kind of thing growing up that you just won't forget. That
never.
Your because it's also the effort that parents went to this kind, even if it's the smallest thing, that my parents or my loved one, my caregiver, went to this effort to make my day very special.
What you've mentioned there is so huge. And if you think of the five love languages, there's gifts, there's acts of service, there's words of affirmation, there's physical touch. You know, those things come through in these rituals. The planning is an act of service and a gift of love. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a gift of a gift. It's the gift of your time. It's the gift of your energy. It's the gift of your creativity. The fact that you were so focused and intent on doing this thing for your child is massive. Do not underestimate it. Then there are those coming of age rites of passage, etc. And And these are also very, very family and cultural based, and they also form cornerstones for children's lives. So, of course, we think of things like weddings. How do you do weddings? How do you do funerals? And when you've got young children, how do you actually go through the process of celebrating a life when there's been a death? And it's important because you have to talk to children about birth and death. These are big existential questions that children are actually fascinated by. So when my gran died, so she was also a great granny to about, I think there were five children at that point that she was a great granny for. We used to take her to all the birthday rings at nursery school and primary school for our children. They were so incredibly lucky. But of course, when she died, it was a big thing. She was about 93. And we did a whole celebration in the garden for her. And we had a whole family meal because food was very much part of her life. And then we got pebbles and the children, they created a word, great granny, in the garden using the pebbles. And then we had the ashes, and they scattered the ashes over that part of the garden. And then there were roses that were planted in her honor. So children need very concrete rituals and symbolism for things to make sense to them. And of course, what happened on that day, which all the great-grandchildren remember with great hilarity, is that my niece had very long hair at the time. And of course, we had candles, and her hair caught on fire on that day. Mm. It wasn't a major drama, but of course, you know, it was put out very quickly. But it will always be remembered that on that day, her hair caught on fire.
Yeah.
Then it could be something like dropping the dummy if you've got a young child. If you had a child who's had a dummy, for the first 2 or 3 years of life, there comes a time when you have to get rid of that dummy, and you've got to be, quite creative about it. And one family I know, their thing was at the age of three, the child would drop that dummy into the dustbin, and the dustbin disappeared. You know, it was the big dustbin that went in the truck. So what kind of ritual do you have around dropping the dummy, or being allowed to light candles, the gift of fire? It's part of independence. It's part of handing over the baton of responsibility to your children. But of course, you don't let your children play with fire and light matches, you know, when they're three. You do it in a supervised way. And I was telling parents this week at a workshop, you know, you teach your children how to make a fire, how to build a fire. They build the fire with you. And by the time they're about six or seven, that's when they get to light the match by themselves. But of course, they practice with you. But the rules are they aren't allowed to light fires when you're not there. So those are, you know, important things. And there's baby naming ceremonies and christenings and bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs and initiation and things like that. Those are all part of family rituals and family life. They signify moments in time. And I want to add one more, which is really important. When do you give your child a cell phone? And that's a big, big question. And we often give children cell phones for our own convenience, but a smartphone is a very powerful device. And I suggest that 13 is the time when you create that ritual where they get to have a smartphone. Of course, they have to sign a cell phone contract too. But children are given so much these days with no ceremony, and then they become entitled and they just expect it. So family rituals can really put a stop to that as well.
Mm. And the contract that you're speaking about is for parents and children to have a conversation about, now that you have a cell phone, this is the responsibility that comes with it. And you are going to have one, keep one and use one by agreeing that this is how you will use it. And that contract is available. You've created one that's available on your website.
It is at nikkibush.com. So to finish off, I really believe rituals are an important part of family life for creating shared memories, for bonding as members of a family, creating emotional anchors to the family beliefs and value system, creating rites of passage, and creating a really unique family brand. And our listeners can get hold of more of that information in my book, Future Proof Your Child for the 2020s and Beyond. That's available on nikkibush.com. And one more thing, you were talking about ribs.
Yes.
The best ribs in town. Family ritual. Mm-hmm. Go to the shawarma company in Norwood. They to die for.
Really? I am adding it to mine and Dr. Trepido's list.
Please do. And that is one incredibly run family restaurant that is used for family rituals over and over again.
Oh, thank you very much, Nikki.
I think I solved your problem.
I think you have. I'll tell you how it goes.
Please do. Okay.
As always, a pleasure having you on the show. That's our resident parenting and human potential expert, Nikki Bush. Still want to know what your family rituals were when you were growing up, but also what your family rituals are now. If you've gone on to have kids, or even if you don't have kids, the things you do as a family that keep you together, that are unique to your family, let us know via WhatsApp on 0727021702.